coming up on this week's mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast.
The average human spends 80% of their time and attention with regret about the past or anxiety about the future, which is essentially we're worrying about something that has already happened that we can't change, or something that has yet to happen that we're fearful about.
Hi everyone, Drew Broad here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. By the way, before we jump into today's episode, what do you think of these Monday mini episodes? We've been trying to provide our audience with more value, and that means taking so many of the incredible interviews we've done, taking the top highlights, the top clips that many of you have let us know that you've enjoyed, and then compiling them in a compilation episode that we present as these Monday mini episodes. I've heard from so many of the audience that they wish there was something a little bit more digestible for those weeks where they don't have a lot of time. And that's what these episodes are about. So if you love them, if you hate them, we'd love to know. Text me 302-200-5643. That's 302-200-5643. Okay, now back to today's mini episode, which is all about breaking through our limiting beliefs. You see, all behavior is belief-driven. Beliefs create our reality, formed from past experiences that we attach meaning to, whether it's factual or not. Too often, the meaning doesn't hold truth to the events that actually happened, and it goes on to wreak havoc on our happiness. In this mini episode, I speak with Shelley Lefko, Amber Ray, and Marie Forleo about mindset and how to change the beliefs that hold us back and prevent us from pursuing our goals and dreams. Let's listen in, starting with my interview with my good friend, Shelley Lefko, co-founder and vice president of the Lefko Institute. Using the Lefko method, Shelley has helped people worldwide handle issues such as eating disorders, phobias, depression, procrastination, fear of public speaking, and so much more.
So a belief is a statement about reality that you believe is the truth. So I always joke and I say it's like being pregnant. You either is or you ain't. So, and most of our beliefs are unconscious. We don't even know that we have them. But there are ways of discovering your beliefs. And mostly when you say a belief out loud, it doesn't feel good. It feels loaded. It feels energy, or it just feels true. So that's what a belief is. Our beliefs stop serving us when they're causing us to be, do, or have things we don't want to be, do, or have, or stop us from doing things that we want to be doing or having. I'm very big in the being. You know, beliefs keep us from being alive, being free, being joyful, being passionate, being able to go for your dreams.
So why do we hold back from pursuing what matters most? Why do we listen to the voice inside of our heads? I have it, you have it, everybody has it. Why do we listen to that voice inside of our head that tells us we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, or not talented enough? Why do we do it? How can we move beyond the fear and doubt that prevents us from creating a life that reflects who we truly are? Amber Ray, an author, artist, and global voice for emotional wellness and self-discovery, also a good friend of mine, talks to us about how to face your fears, wake up to your truth, and get to the source of what's holding you back.
In each of us, there is so much that we're here to give. And I know the Australian nurse Bronnie War once said that the top regret of those on their deathbed is, I wish I would have lived the life true to me and not the life that others expected. And so I'm so curious, and it's really been my life's call to understand what gets in the way of us expressing all that we have to give.
You know, in this Broken Brain docuseries that we did, all about brain health and the root causes of what leads to mental disorders later on, nutritional challenges that impact brain health, gut health. One topic that we touched on, but we didn't have a chance to go deep into, is how not honoring our purpose and not listening to what we're meant to do can add to our daily stress. When you see people struggling with really feeling that feeling and wanting to express and work on these gifts that they have inside, what are the things that block them on a regular basis from accessing those gifts and then doing something with it in the world?
Yeah, I'd say the big ones are I'm not good enough, which is I found I was researching and having conversations with everyone from the CEO of a billion-dollar company who had access to so much resources and money and yet didn't think he had the time and money to do the things that he wanted to do. And, you know, people on the opposite spectrum. And I found that there was this myth of not enough. I'm not good enough, smart enough, talented enough, influential enough. The other one, I don't have enough time or money to do the thing that I want to do. So there's this myth of scarcity and not enoughness that is one of the big ones. And, you know, a sibling of that, as I just mentioned, is this not enough time in the daily schedule. Oh, I have so much responsibility, family, I have to pay the bills, all real things. But those become excuses for carving out time to pursue the things that actually matter. And then I'd say the last big one is I don't know what I want. And I remember there was something that I saw you write so long ago where people think they're confused, they're unclear, which oftentimes is they're just afraid.
Yeah. So well said. You know, you mentioned the Australian nurse, Bronnie Ware, and that quote, like, I wish I would have lived the life that I, the number one regret of people who are dying in these hospice care and nursing homes. And, you know, the follow-up to that was really beautiful. Like, I let other people's priorities become my own priorities, which is a beautiful thing to talk about, because I think in this day and age, we have more people fighting for our attention and trying to tell us what our priorities should be than ever in the history of humanity.
Totally.
And we're all struggling with how do you create some space and not let worry take over. Let's talk a little bit more about worry. You know, your book has worry in the title. Why did you want to write a book about worry?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a few answers to this, but one, when I looked back on my life and all the times that I didn't go after the things that I wanted to do, it was because of some anxiety, some fear, some story that I was telling myself. And I remember one day when I walked into this art gallery and I immediately had this feeling inside of me and a voice inside of my head, which I like to think of as wonder, said, it's time to make some art. And that was quickly followed up by art. Who are you to make art? You didn't go to art school. And I asked myself in that moment, who are you talking? And that voice said, I'm worry. And so worry became this way for me to identify when my inner critic was speaking. It became the way for me to identify when I was really buying into a story that was or was not true, but that I was buying into and could question. And when I met with Dr. James Doty, he's a neurosurgeon at Stanford, he said that the average human spends 80% of their time and attention with regret about the past or anxiety about the future, which is essentially we're worrying about something that has already happened that we can't change or something that has yet to happen that we're fearful about. And so I found both this inner anxiety and worry conversation happening inside of me, as well as this larger societal trend and challenge, and just wondered, of course, what I could do about it.
Do you think people underestimate the impact and the daily stress that comes from worrying?
I feel like people aren't always aware of how much it's leading and running. It's, you know, tapping into that unconscious part of themselves where they, you know, one of the first questions I ask in the book is, what is your relationship to worry like? And I was talking to my friend Caduce recently, and he's like, I didn't even think I worried. And then all of a sudden I'm writing about my relationship to worry and realizing, whoa, worry is actually driving a lot of my decision-making. I didn't even realize it. And I actually, you know, I've been wanting to write poems and do poetry for a really long time. And yet I've been pushing away my inner artist and I didn't realize that was out of worry. And so I think it is gripping our lives in more ways than we realize, whether it's, you know, worry and some worry is useful. Not all worry is bad, which we can get into in a minute, but you know, whether it's worrying about something we can't control, worrying about whether or not we're ready or if we deserve the thing that we want, you know, there's all flavors of worry, but it really can stifle and paralyze our potential.
Now, if you change a belief, you change everything. If you're having trouble solving a problem, making a dream happen, or if you're deeply entrenched in limiting beliefs or limiting belief system, three simple words can help you to shift your mindset. And those three words are everything is figure outable. Now, a friend of mine, Marie Forleo, founder of the acclaimed business training program B-School, the star of an award-winning show, Marie TV, and the host of the Marie Forleo podcast, shares with us the three rules of the figure outable philosophy to help us create positive changes in our lives, in our communities, and ultimately the world. So what are the things that hold us back from fully embracing this idea of everything is figure-outable? What do people believe that is the opposite?
Well, I think one of the things to understand to set this context is just the fact of how powerful our beliefs really are. You know, if you don't believe that you can achieve something or learn something or become better in any domain, you won't. That doesn't mean it's not possible, but our beliefs really are like train tracks that underpin our lives. They direct where we go, how we get there, and everything. You know, a lot of people feel like, well, if I just change my thoughts, but where do your thoughts come from? Underneath that is what you believe to be true about yourself and about the world. And so I think we have to look at beliefs first. And I think your question was, how do we start to change, or what holds us back, right?
Yeah. What are the beliefs that hold people back? If one belief is everything is figure outable.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what's one belief that holds us back from
everything's not figure outable, or that people don't have what it takes? I think the belief that I'm not good enough, or I don't have what it takes to become that or do that or be that or change that, that is a belief that can stop you dead in your tracks. And think about it. If you tell your brain, well, I can't, or that's not possible, your brain's not going to stretch beyond your cognitive comfort zone right now and search for new ideas or innovations or go ask questions. So, you know, coming back to the brain, that's why I love this idea, because if you're just willing to play in the arena that everything is figure outable, it opens up a whole new world of possibilities. I want to do this, Drew. Can we talk into the skepticism that people might have when they hear this phrase?
Yes, please.
Because people listening right now might be like, okay, cute idea, kind of see it, but no, everything's not figure outable. So when I first started writing the book, I was out to brunch with some friends, and my one friend brought her 10-year-old son along. And they were asking me, like, Marie, what are you working on right now? And I said, I'm working on a new book. What's the name? Everything is figure outable. And the 10-year-old's like, no, it's not. And I was like, oh, okay, mister, tell me more. What exactly isn't figure outable? And he said, well, we human beings can't grow working wings out of our back and fly away. And I was like, well, that's really interesting. You know, have you heard of CRISPR? That may be coming somewhere down the line. Two, we human beings can indeed fly. And he was like, well, you're right. Okay, well, I can't bring my dog back from the dead, the one that died 3 years ago. And I was like, well, that's true as of right now, but scientists are working on cryogenics and people have been cloning their dogs. And he was like, oh yeah, you're right. So conversations like that inspired me to create a set of rules around the figure-outable philosophy. It's a mental container, if you will, so that we can use this phrase and this philosophy for its intended purpose, which is to help ourselves create positive change and then positive change in our communities and the world around us. So here's how that goes. The three rules of the figure-outable philosophy.
Right.
Rule number one, all problems or dreams are figure-outable. Rule number two, if a problem isn't figure outable, it's not a problem, it's a fact of life, like death, gravity, certain laws of nature, taxes. Rule number three, you may not care enough to solve this particular problem or reach this particular dream, and that's okay. Go find something you do care deeply about and circle back to rule number one. So those three rules kind of help us set into play how we can approach this idea and start to overcome some of the beliefs that, oh, everything's not figure outable. You know what I mean? If your brain kicks up this, that, or the other thing. And I'll say one more piece on this, because a dear friend of mine who respects my work actually texted this to me, and we had a conversation about it. He's like, Marie, I love you. I respect everything you've done. I think the title is amazing, but come on, everything's not figure outable. What about addiction? What about death? What about grief and loss and a life-changing diagnosis? How are you saying that all of that is figure outable? And I said, well, great question. Let me answer with a story. After I had shared this idea on Oprah's platform, I started to receive letters from people. This is before I wrote the book. So they had only just heard the phrase itself and they took it on and used it to create change in their lives. And one of the letters I received was from a woman named Jen. She said this, Marie, I loved your Oprah talk. This is actually an idea that my mom has been trying to teach me my whole life. We sat down together, we both watched it, and we think it was fantastic. But then something changed. My mom, who's like my best friend, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and suddenly nothing seemed figure outable. She said, but I really took a step back and looked more deeply at the situation, and here's what I discovered. I could figure out how to find nursing care for my mom, who lived in a rural area. I could figure out how to find foods that she could actually tolerate. And this was the big one for Jen. I could find out how to get medical equipment so that my beautiful mom could spend her last days, and in fact, her last 5 weeks on earth, exactly where she wanted to be, which was in her own home. Mm. So Jen said, I can now say without a shadow of a doubt that yes, everything is figureoutable. And thank you so much for sharing this simple phrase that made such a huge difference to two women on the other side of the world. Jen's from New Zealand.
It's such a powerful story because everything is figureoutable. It doesn't mean that you're going to completely 100% fix a situation, like get that person back.
Correct.
But what is the most ideal and best situation you can bring in that circumstance? Because as you said, rule number two, it's that in that situation, her family member getting diagnosed is like gravity. That person has a diagnosis.
Yes. And all of us are going to die sometime, right? And we just know that to be true. So death is one of those facts of life. And one of the things that we dive deeper into the book is about really helping yourself parse through things that are within your control and things that are not. And, you know, that's a little bit of an interesting area. We wouldn't have scientific and medical breakthroughs if someone didn't look at a situation and go, no, I don't think this is true. I'm going to try and break through and change that reality. So I think that's for each of us to decide, you know, what we want to consider. This is an irrefutable fact versus something that you want to see if you can reshape our world. And I would invite viewers to decide that for themselves. But I think on a very fundamental level, understanding that you cannot change someone else's behavior, that you can only really focus on your own, is a great first step into making that distinction between, again, focusing on what you can control versus what you can't.
Because in another universe, that friend of yours whose story is so touching that you just shared, she's super focused on the fact that she's depressed and sad and upset because this is happening to her family member, which is anybody's right to be able to do that.
Of course.
And she's not focusing enough on what she can actually do in this situation. And
Yes. That's
what happens for a lot of people, is we focus on what we can't do instead of embracing, okay, this is the reality. What can I do now?
Exactly. And I think you just hit the nail on the head, Drew. It's like all of us are going to face really hard truths in life. No human being escapes that, right? We are all going to be on our knees. We are all going to experience grief and disappointment and loss and some really challenging things. And when those challenging things occur, we do have to ask ourselves, what now? And I think it's in those moments that when we reach for this idea that, well, everything is figureoutable, what can I do to lift myself up or other people up given these circumstances? That's where we kind of rise into our full power. That's where we tap into our innate wisdom. And that's where we start to create positive change.
By recognizing the current belief systems we have in place and changing those that are holding us back, we give ourselves the power to move through blocks and achieve whatever it is we want to achieve. Thank you for tuning into this mini episode of the Broken Brain Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Please, if you feel so inclined, hit up our featured guest in today's episode, Marie Forleo, Shelley Lefko, and Amber Ray. Hit them up on social media, on Twitter, shoot their website a contact, check out their past episodes, give them a little love. If you've enjoyed today's conversation, it would mean the world. I'm wishing you a beautiful rest of the week. Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Just a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not, I repeat, it's not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or otherwise qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Provider database. It's important that you have somebody in your corner that's qualified, that's trained, that's a licensed healthcare practitioner helping you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.